Welcome to Sense, Sensibility, and Chaos, where we try to make sense of the world, fail spectacularly, and have a great time doing it.
I'm busy because I'm always juggling a million things, trying new recipes, and catching up with loved ones.
I'm well-read because if there's a book about it, I've read it, overanalyzed it, come up with at least three theories.
And I'm tall girl because this is the only identity I will commit to long-term, besides being a master of wit, commentary, and mild chaos.
Together, we take on the quirks of everyday life, overthink the little things, and try to balance being responsible adults with embracing the nonsense.
Think of this as your virtual tea or coffee chat with friends, except we occasionally spiral and absolutely encourage the chaos.
So get comfortable, grab a drink, and let's get into it.
Or embrace the chaos.
Preferably both. So today's episode, folks, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is our third episode, and we're going to be talking about why are people like this? We're going to take a dive into human behavior that makes zero sense.
I love that we think we can cover this in 40 minutes. There's entire industries devoted to this, but like, oh, we're going to get this down in 40 quick minutes. Don't you worry, kids.
Yeah. Don't worry, science. We got
this. We're not overachievers at all. Confidence level 1000.
Level delusion.
One podcast at a time.
Level delusion there. All right, so let's start with what is one of the first ones we want to start with? Weird social norms?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start.
You know, here's the thing. You know, like people pretend not to see people in public or people whatever.
I do that all the time.
Okay, here's the thing. Legit, I will remember your face, but I am terrible about names. It's not that I'm not pretending not to know you, but if like one of you or somebody I know isn't with me, mm-hmm. I don't know your name. So I know I'm going to be like, hi, you're the person who loves mustard. It was so great when we were in camp together. And like 45 minutes later, I still don't remember your name. So like I can engage, but I can't remember who the hell you were. Best boyfriend I ever had, I could turn to. And I was like, he's the guy who's cheating on his wife who almost choked on the steak at dinner. And he'd be like, oh, Tim. And I'd be like, cool. I remember everything else. He would remember the name. I never should have broken up with that guy.
Don't you have like the social cues with a friend where if you and I were together and you turn to the mystery person and you kind of give me the look and I know to say, oh, hi, I'm busy. Nice to meet you. And then they introduce their names. Like, have you not implemented that or thought to implement that?
You've been in public with me, right? You've heard me lean over to you and be like, who the f- is this person? And you're like, we only spent like 6 years at school with them.
That is true. But seriously, you just, I mean, I've also just come flat out like, listen, I'm having a moment. Can you just remind me your name?
Although I will say for true jerks, when they walk back up in a bar, I will absolutely pretend I have no idea who they are just to crush their souls.
That's sweet of you. Keeping them honest.
Because some men deserve it.
And women, many people deserve it. Let's be honest. I am a fair distributor.
Equal opportunity hater.
That is right. I hate everyone equally.
Okay, small admission. There's one of our friends, one of her friends, constantly said my name wrong for like a year. It's been a decade. Every single email I'm on with her, I find another variation of her name. I'm running into like Zulu tribal names at this point, but like, no. For a year, you refuse to get my name right. For a lifetime, I will never get yours right on purpose.
I worked at a company where nobody knew how to spell my name the entire length of the time I worked there.
Okay, but that's in your email signature. Like,
yes, it is.
And even like Teams now prompts, like you've mm-hmm. got it wrong. Like, that's a choice.
Yep. Mm. Yep. No, I 100% am one of those people that will, I pretend to not see people. That, really? Yeah, I just don't want, especially if I haven't seen that person in a long time and it's been awkward in the past, I will pretend not to see you. I will look a different direction and pretend not to see you.
Like ex social drama or just in general, like I don't want to have to.
No, just if So if I don't know someone well, or if I've only met them once or twice and it was like an awkward interaction, I will move my eyes in a different direction if I see them first. If they see me first, it's a different story. And then I will also try to remember their name because.
That is, okay. In the years when I used to do a lot of trade shows for work, because of my height, you will find me in a crowd before anybody
Oh,
else.
100%.
I would be on a convention floor, and from across the convention hall, somebody I haven't seen from 3 years is like, "Yo, hey!" I am like ducking behind tables. I am trying to hide. I don't remember you. You were booth 187 and I was booth 193 and we were friends for life. And I'm like, I'm sure I was.
Those
And then
three
on
men,
the
are they?
next day.
No, I had a vendor, and it became actually a joke that I kept forgetting his name, or I was remembering it like a coworker who was with him. So it became the joke for a while. Now I know his name, and I got past that. But for the longest time, it became the joke between us and some of our other coworkers. That I know you don't have my name, and like I appreciate that you know this, and you still talk to me. And then I got, then. When 1, 2 years goes into 6, 7, 8, 10 years, you remember the people.
I will
Speak
say
for
though,
yourself.
will also say I am very golden retriever. If I find you in any way fascinating, I'm the first one to run up to you in a room and be like, "Hi, want to be my buddy?" And then you guys are kind of always looking at me like, "Why are we talking to strangers? Like, why did we approach strangers?"
All right, let's see another social norm, the Texan etiquette. Wow, that was a deep sigh. I felt that from
Okay,
here.
so here's the thing. And look, admittedly, I am busy. So there are times when you guys text me, and in my head, or even half the time, I've written the response and I don't hit send. So very often, when you guys are like 6 weeks later, like, did you, Red did this
Have you?
yesterday. She was like,
Yep.
about the message I sent you that was important like 2 hours ago. I'm like, in my head, I totally responded to you. And it's sitting in the bubble, it just hasn't hit send.
I mean, I do that too.
If Apple wants to do me a favor, like in your inbox for Outlook, it'll be like, did you mean to send this or put this in drafts? Text messages should prompt you like 8 hours later, like, do you know you didn't hit send?
Like when you sign into a website, your banking website. We're going to log you out for, inactivity. Do you mean to send this text? Did you forget to hit the send button? I'm sure that that would be helpful to busy people or ADHD or.
Like, if there could be an auto response, if I don't respond to your text message after 8 hours, like, she loves you. She's not trying to invalidate you. Just remember who you texted. This is really on you. She loves you deeply.
Oh, we
She's
know.
just not texting back anytime soon.
We know. We just keep hitting you over the head with text messages or just will show up. So that's pretty much how that goes down.
I will say, like, in the mid 2000s, writing back K or KK was like the thing.
I have a friend who feels that the thumbs up emoji could be passive aggressive. And I could see,
Really?
like, I
Why?
could kind of like in the sense of like the. Like some people are like, oh, okay, like kind of like the thumbs up when people can, and I could see where it can be. So for that person, I will not want to, if one of us sends a text and we do the thumbs up to acknowledge it on the chat, I will not do that. I will, because it's seen. Listen, everyone has their things. I get it. I could see the point of it.
I will say, like, especially for Brits, like Ireland, England, Scotland, even Wales, when they send texts, they end it with an X, which is a kiss, which is lovely. But then I'll forget and I'll translate that over to like an American text. And I'm like, oh, I've just written in like sexual harassment. Like, for them, it's just like the polite way to end a text, like thinking of you, like hope to see you on Sunday, Dan's gonna make a roast, X. And then I forget and carry it to an American conversation. And I'm like, I think I just unintentionally flirted and I don't want to be flirting right now. So like I had to like put a thing in, like never text X to anybody. Like never, ever, ever text X to anybody. It's just going to get you in trouble.
Oh, I just want to start sending you text messages with just X at the end of it. Even mid-conversation, I'm just going to X.
First of all, I inappropriately flirt with you 24/7. Half of our
That is
friendship
true.
is based on it. It's just other people and I forget.
I expect the flirting. Now, along the lines with the long text, do you feel there's a time when people should just do a long text versus a voice message?
I like a voice message because I can get your intonation of like angry versus like there are sometimes people will send you a 9-paragraph text and you're like, oh my God, are you okay? And they're like, fine. Like, but if they call you or they give you an audio message and they're like, oh my God, versus like, this is my mildly frustrating day. Like, I know how to give you, I have sworn forever there needs to be like a sarcasm font, but there also needs to be like an emotional indicator to tell you, like, this is my rage level related to the thing I'm about to message you. I've had people text me like my grandpa died, and I'm like, oh my God, so sorry. And they're like, it's cool. I'm like, I feel like I missed a step. I feel like I was supposed to be sympathetic, and you're acting like it's Thursday. I don't know where to go in this message now.
I'm actually the opposite. I prefer the long text over the voice note.
Why is that?
I am not always in a place where I am capable of listening to the voice note, and then people inevitably respond to themselves in the voice note. So if I haven't listened to the voice note, and then I get five texts.
But the same can be
Referring to
said,
the voice note.
the same can be said about a text too.
Yes, but if you send me a voice note and then you send me five texts following up, I have to stop what I'm doing and listen to the voice note, which means I have to probably find my earbuds and make sure that I'm in a place where I can focus on listening to it. If you send me six text messages, I can determine at a glance whether or not I need to like pay attention to this right this second, or if I can like a voice note, oftentimes the transcript of it is awful,
Oh, I find
and
that funny.
I cannot be bothered.
First of all,
I
you
cannot be bothered.
deal with the fact that I haven't used punctuation in a text message to you pretty much in our entire friendship.
This
It's like I
is
have a
true.
quota of them per day and I use them at work and I refuse to use them in my personal life. So.
Yeah, but that's also partially how we learned to text. Like, people find the period passive aggressive at the end of a sentence.
You'll also know I'm kidnapped if I ever put a semicolon in a message to you guys. Like, call the FBI if I use punctuation all the way through the sentence.
Mean, that's fair. I would also say with the voice messages, I try to keep it to a time frame as best I can, like 3 to 4 minutes, maybe five. If I've been, and people are like, oh my God, that long a message. It, because sometimes I'm working through something and basically I'm having the conversation we would have had you been in the room with me. But it's one-sided and I'll get to you later. So I do try to keep to the etiquette of keeping it smaller clips so that it's not, you start to listen and someone calls you and then it stops. And then like Red was saying, like the time to actually sit there and listen. So yeah, that's for me.
All right, so here's.
Prefer the novel.
I prefer follow-up questions because it's usually as you're talking, my brain is like, okay, but what were they wearing? Whereas, like, if you present me with a paragraph, I feel like I can't. In conversation, I can insert questions. In text, it's like I have given you the information. And I'm like,
If I'm listening to an audio message from someone, and let's say tall girl here says, and then this person cut me off in the road, I will, as I'm listening to it, I will type comments to what you're saying as I'm listening, so that if you say, oh, I tried out the rest this that restaurant, oh, I might say to you, type, oh, what did you try? Just so that when we get to actually have a conversation, you can engage with my feedback from your voice message.
I will say you are a much better active listener than I am. It is something I appreciate about how
Me?
you, yeah.
Okay.
You bring up details and things I've said to you, whereas like I've said it and I'm done with it and it's no longer in my brain and I've moved on. Whereas you do come with these like follow-up questions, or like a year later you'll quote me and I'm like, there is no way I said that.
And this is when Red and I can go, here, we have the same audio message. Hold, please.
Which apparently you guys are downloading as
No,
like,
I don't.
yeah.
I download the good ones.
Just know I'm forever done with audio messages to you two.
Lies.
It's
She
true.
lies.
It's
I
probably
thank
true.
you.
All right. So, what are some other.
You know what is one of the things? And I was grocery shopping this morning. So, frigging shopping carts, man. There's actually a thing called shopping cart theory.
Yes.
So, it. People who leave their shopping carts just willy-nilly all over the parking lot or purposely put it into a parking space. People who move their shopping carts around like they own the freaking store, or versus the people who, you know, if someone is like if you're driving, if someone is coming through an aisle and they have the right of way, you let them go, or you put your shopping cart back into the hutch at the end of your shopping time. Like it's basically people will get away with whatever they think they can get away with.
But you're also supposed to take dates to the grocery store to see how people handle a shopping cart, because that will give you an indicator to their personality more than anything else. Like,
Oh,
do
that's
they walk
interesting.
it back? Do they wipe it off? Like, do they prop it on the ledge? The one that drives me crazy is like when people push it away in almost like a musical kind of way. Like, I'm sending it to the far side of the parking lot wherever it may sail. And I'm
Yeah,
just like, what is that? What? You couldn't just leave it. You had to put in the effort to, like, especially when the cart guy is like an aisle away, and it's just like, you see the guy. You clearly see the guy if you just left it, or when you leave it right behind the car next to you, so they just won't be able to reverse kind of stuff. I'm like,
it was pouring rain here earlier today, and while grocery shopping, we were having difficulty finding a cart that worked. Because people had not returned the carts to where they were supposed to be returned. And it turned out I turned down an aisle in the parking lot so that I could find a parking space, and they were all at the far end willy-nilly. So it wasn't like somebody had been organizing them to bring them back up. It was they were just all everywhere.
I think
Like, why?
I fall into, I would say 85 to 90% of the time, I'm going to put it back in the shopping cart aisle. That's like around this area, they have a lot of spots where if you have the aisles for parking, like halfway down one side of the aisle, there will be a spot for you to put your cart into. I'm 90% of the time there. Are there times when I have popped it, like popped the front wheels onto the curb so that I don't have to, because they're one of those is nowhere near and it is downpouring rain or freezing cold. Yes, I've absolutely done that. But I do try to, and then I also try to organize them if I see, because some of them have in this area the normal size shopping carts, but then they have those smaller one where it's like too small, like a tall, a top level and a second level below, and they're tinier so that they're shorter carts that you're not maneuvering. And a lot of stores by us will have different in those spots where you put the carts in the middle of the parking lot. They will have different like lanes. Like this is for the shorter cart. This is for the normal size carts, buggies, whatever people call them around the world. And so if I see that they're chaotic and I have a minute to spare, I will sometimes organize them a little bit.
Rearrange them. Yeah.
And also, if people just toss them into the holding pen, I guess, for all these carts, and they're all just all over. I try to get them so that they actually get into a line so you can fit more into them instead of just all over the place.
It's
It's just
because you're a
little.
good person.
Oh, don't go. That's a little too far. Slow down.
Well, from a sociological perspective, you're a better person than a lot of the other cart users of the world.
Yeah.
What
It's
are the
because there's
people
no
who walk?
consequences. Sorry.
No, but like in COVID, people were walking out of the stores with the grocery carts, well, the plastic carts, because they weren't giving out bags in New Jersey. So people started taking those plastic baskets. And they took those baskets home because they were like, okay, well, if you're not going to give me a plastic bag, I'm going to take your baskets. So the grocery stores around here stopped giving out baskets because they're like, the
Is
baskets.
that why they're not anywhere?
Yeah.
Not
Yeah.
because
Because
people are taking them home.
some of the stores, I've noticed that. I'm like, I just have like three items and I don't need a whole big cart and I can't find the little carts. I
Then they're not cheap. They're like $80 a basket, but they're meant to hold up for years. And it's not like people brought them back. It's like those post office mail boxes that every the plastic bins that like everybody has six in their garage and they're not supposed to because it's property of the USPS. Yeah, nobody brought them back. They actually did like news stories here that people weren't bringing them back. If you're going to deny me plastic, I'm going to cost you. And I'm like, so you're willing to go to the grocery store, buy all the groceries, but like openly admit to theft on Channel 9 news that you're stealing this basket from this store? Like, sir, do you know how crime works?
It's what people can get away with versus what they know they'll get caught at. That's what shopping cart theory really comes down to, is what type of person are you when you know you're not going to get caught? What will you try to get away with? And there are no consequences to the actions of you getting away with that thing. Like, do you do the right thing? Do you put the shopping cart back? Do you put the basket back? Or do you just take it home or leave it willy-nilly?
A grocery store by me for years has had like a cookie counter that you self-serve from. So like the Lay's cookies, the raspberry, whatever cookies.
Okay.
And I will say I am taller, so I see this, I think maybe more than most people. There's a little box on top of the cookies that says samples, 25 cents each. So if you're just going to grab a cookie for your kid to keep them busy as they go through the store, you're meant to be paying. One day I came home and my neighbor's like, "Hey, have you been going to the whatever in town?" I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "For your whole life?" I'm like, "For most of my whole life, yeah." She's like, "Do you know that there's a change box at the top of the cookie like thing? And if you're going to grab a cookie for your kid to keep them entertained in the store, you're supposed to put like a quarter." I'm guessing it was a nickel when I was little, but like it's a quarter per cookie now. I was like, "Yeah, that's been there my whole life." She like never saw it. So for like the entire time raising her kids, every time they went shopping, she got her two daughters a cookie, walked around the store, they were entertained, she was whatever. She tried to go into the store and she tried to give them like $100 for like a lifetime worth of cookies. And they were just like, "What are you doing? Like, why would you do that? Like, you might be the only person ever." I was like, no, my mom put change in there. And every once in a while, like I would just grab one. Like I would pick up something because I went in to like grab dinner. So I'd grab a cookie, put a quarter in, and like whatever, go shopping. She tried to bring the money, and they were just like, "Are you an idiot? Why would you? You've gotten away with your crime for so long. Why would you admit to it? And why would you try to compensate us?" And she was like, "Why wouldn't I try to pay for my crimes? Like, aren't you in the business of money?"
Yeah,
Was weird.
it's one of those weird things. Like,
I did it once or twice
it's
too.
just one
Like
of
the
those weird
grocery
things.
store, something like the grocery store used to have black carts. So if you put something dark on the lower part of the cart, I wouldn't always see it. Like once or twice, I did walk out of the store and I didn't mean to, but like, my purse was there or something, or I didn't see it. I walked back into the store because when I got to unload from the trunk, I'm looking at it at a different angle. Multiple times I've tried to walk back into the store and be like, "Here's the thing I stole. Please don't call the cops for like cranberry juice. Like, this is not the crime I want to go down for." And they're always just like, "Why would you come back? Like, why didn't you just take it?" And I'm like,
I don't get that response. Thank you. Sometimes they're like, you know what? We know it wasn't intentional. It's okay. Don't worry about it. That I've gotten more than the why would you come back? I've had more like, and then there
well,
are times they're like,
stores.
oh, thank you. And they'll ring me up for it.
Yeah, stores calculate into their business or a certain amount of loss. So if you, because people do intentionally take things from stores. So if you accidentally walk out with something and you come back like, oh my God, I did this thing. And I did that with a pair of jeans once. They put an extra pair of jeans into my bag that were not mine. And I brought them back and they were like, why? Nobody does that. Nobody brings anything back. Like, I do.
It's not.
These are not, I did not pay for these. These are not mine.
I can't roll up into Rikers as the cranberry juice criminal. Like, just I
I
need
think that
to
would
roll
be
hard. Like,
fantastic.
it's not even a societal thing. I need to roll hard into prison. I'm a peach. I need you to think I'm a serial killer. I can't be going down for juicy juice.
Oh, good Lord. I think along the lines of the shopping cart, which I think I see a lot in stores, the people who have their cell phone and they have it on speaker.
Don't even get me started.
Okay, not
As a
grocery
person who
store.
takes, no, as a person who takes public transportation fairly regularly, this drives me insane. Insane. Growing up in an area where it was nonstop public transportation, I know you have headphones. I see you every day on our commute. I have watched you use your headphones, but you're going to sit there and listen to something obnoxious without your headphones because you feel like you should. Drives me crazy.
Clearly.
Okay, sometimes because I'm a little bit of a schmuck, I would get involved and I would be like, oh my God, but like, how long have they been married? And as soon as you pay attention to their conversation, they get really upset. I will also say my pharmacy, it's an independent one. So the back wall is like paired products, UTI treatments, like sexual aids, whatever. And it's right next to the chairs for the pharmacy pickup area. So, like, if you're waiting for your pickup, if it's not quite ready, the people who are in that aisle who are discussing the blisters and boils and, maladies of their nether regions on speakerphone, like, is it oozing? Is it oozing?
Absolutely
And
not.
I'm just like,
No, ma'am.
Like, I'm sitting here. I cannot walk away from this. I'm waiting for my Z-Pak so I don't die of the influenza. Like, what? Do you know that everybody in this pharmacy is now well up to date on not only your sexual history, but none of us are going within 10 feet of you? We're all terrified based on the symptoms you have said out loud in this aisle.
No. There are times, and I can't think of one at the moment, but I know that there are times where someone might, you can't have a telephone. Maybe it's a mother and they have, a parent has a child with them and they can't hold the child and it's maybe, hey, did we need milk? Do we need eggs? Something like that. Okay, that's not the worst thing. It's fine. It's the people have these in-depth like conversations like, so I lost my job or they're having an affair, or like you're saying, like the health matters. And I'm like, why
Or
are
it's
we?
just the loud music that they
Oh, yeah.
determine that everybody wants to listen to on an enclosed space.
I can deal with the music more than the people who are like, I live at 666 Mockingbird Lane and my social
Or with
security
their
number is
credit card
5555.
number out.
Like, they read it
Yeah.
out and my password is Bunny B and my like birth date is and my grandmother's so and I'm like, ma'am, you're about to fund my vacation. You are so very lucky. Like, I don't understand how anybody stole my credit card information. I'm like, really?
When I call, if I call a restaurant and I'm calling from this my house, and if I could give them the credit card over the phone, and I notice they're on speaker, I say, please don't either take me off speaker when you need to read it back, or when I give it to you, or please don't read it back out loud. Because like, so I can't imagine doing that in public where the world can hear me.
Like,
It
do you
makes no
think it's
sense.
because they just don't realize, or do you think it's because they want to like the attention
No,
of?
I think it's to do with the fact that a lot of people don't see public spaces as threatening.
Oh, I'm opposite.
What kind of public transit have those people been on?
I no, it's like if I can walk down the street and not get accosted, then I can have a private conversation in the middle of a public area and nobody's going to pay attention to what I'm saying. Meanwhile, it's like putting a bumper sticker on the back of your car that says, I donate money to PETA. Well, now I know probably one of your passwords is. It's just one of those things. Like, if you share information in a public arena, you can't, should you be able to expect that no one's going to be able to use it against you?
I mean, this is also the people who assume, like, oh, you can't do that. Like, you're filmed a million times a day on every camera. Like, I have a right to my image. I'm like, you have no expectation of privacy anywhere.
Well, you do have an expect you do have a right to privacy in your own home. Legally speaking, you have a right to privacy in your own home. You have a certain amount of privacy expectation in your car. However,
No.
people seem to be unaware of windows.
Okay, I used to commute a lot, so I drove a lot. I have seen people eat soup, brush their teeth, pick their nose, read the
Do their makeup.
newspaper. Like, you know, we can see through the glass, right?
Or
Like,
I heard if you're going through drive-throughs and let's say you place your order and then you put the windows up, but sometimes people are so loud that the people through the drive-through can still hear you. So you say, okay, thank you, window up, and then you start to talk smack about the person who just took your order. They can hear that. Or if your music is so loud, they could hear it through the windows, or you screaming at, your children, whatever it might be, they can still hear you. So I'm once I heard that, I'm like, okay, not that I think I've ever said anything horrible, but I just am more aware.
Okay, first of all, why would you risk pissing off the person who serves your food? Like, you have to
Oh, I
be
know.
aware that's like, but also I heard that call centers sometimes when they're like, okay, I'll be right back, and they put you on hold, they hear you on hold, or they just put themselves on mute, and people like give away like, oh, I didn't really hit that car, like, you know, whatever. Like, call centers will use it to catch people because they tend to talk in ways they shouldn't when they're on hold. Ooh, people rat themselves out.
They do. They do.
Let's think. Another thing I think we people's behavior the in line with this, the oversharing, just strangers who talk to us. I don't know what it is about the three of us that says, by all means, please tell me your life secrets and your deepest, darkest
Yes,
thoughts.
I want to know at your 86 years of advanced age in a nursing home that you killed your first husband because he was beaten on you and you put strychnine in his coffee.
That I'm
Like,
okay with.
which is
But
a
I'm
traumatic thing that's never actually happened to you, just to clarify. You know
Yeah, no, that's
nothing about
hyperbole.
actual. Yeah,
I know
yeah.
nothing about actual murder. It's
Thank you.
hyperbole.
Thank you.
I've actually read stories online of people having had that experience, like nursing home aides working in a nursing home, and the nursing home attendee is like, yeah, no, I totally did that. What are they going to do? Put me in jail?
Yes.
And
Yes, they are. I don't know why you think being 86 is going to keep you out of jail.
think
Sometimes
also
we
we would have
have
to turn them in first.
in align with that, it's also people just give me their children.
Yes.
I tell them the story about your
Oh
Subway. That's the one
my
that
God.
I was thinking of this the Subway a couple years ago for you. Do you not remember that one?
No.
You were on a subway heading home, and you were there, a woman with children in a carrot, what is stroller, and there were some.
Oh.
See the details. You're all right, tall girl. You're right with the details, and me. And there were these like late teenage kids acting a fool, and they were, doing whatever. So the woman just took her child out of the stroller, handed her to Red, or handed the child to Red, closed the stroller and started swinging it at the teenagers, and said something along the lines like, I don't know where your mama's at, but this mama ain't having it.
I totally forgot about that.
You're welcome. And that's what I was thinking of when this happened, when I was writing this up. But that was just like, she just, random stranger, gave you a
Just
baby and said,
totally
hey,
random. One of
you seem
those, yeah,
trustworthy.
for those of you who have been to New York City and are listening, the old F train cars,
On the
like the
F?
old on the F.
Yeah.
The old orange and yellow and
Yeah.
brown cars from the 70s.
God, I love those.
I was sitting in one of the corner seats, and she was sitting on one of the L-shaped seats with the stroller next to me, and just handed me her kid and proceeded to beat the crap out of these teenagers with her kid's stroller. Like not even two. Not even two. Just proceeded to do this. So, but it's also happened with people not on the subway, like
Oh yeah, we've been at
because
parties and we know the hosts, let's say, and they obviously have people who we don't know. And one of our mutual friends, we were at their house and the woman was sitting there and her child was in her lap. The child like looked away and like just all of a sudden like jumped into my arms. And someone else said, "Oh, do you know him?" I said, "This is the first time I am meeting either this woman or this child," but they felt comfortable enough to say, "Hey, you have won the right to hold me."
Okay,
And it's
but
just
in fairness, you don't give off creeper vibes. Like I would never.
yeah, I'm
We
winning.
are in a party of people we know. You
I
at least
agree.
know somebody who's here.
Yeah, but I'm that paranoid person.
Yeah, but you're a city chick.
I am born and
You are
raised.
infinitely more like,
I am that paranoid person that knows that creeper people do not give off creeper vibes. They look like the person next door.
Oh no, creeper people give off creeper vibes. That's why most people make me nervous as hell. I'm fascinated by them, which is why I talk to them.
It's also been in situations when we're not in a party and I could be in a public place and people just say like, "Oh, can you just hold her hand for a moment?" Or can you just, and it's like, listen, I'm not saying this because I'm surprised that people do it. Not that I think I give off vibes. I hope I don't, but it's more in the way we live now. And I'm also the person that if I saw a parent who had maybe two children and one of them was struggling, I had flat out come up to parents and be like, "Do you need a hand with something?" Just and I was like, "If you want to say no, that's fine. But you did you need a hand?" People are like, "No, I'm fine." Or sometimes like, "Would you mind just grabbing this for them because they couldn't," whatever the situation was. So I am that type who will also offer.
Yeah, if somebody's going down the stairs with a stroller, I'm
I
at
will
the other
help with the
other end of the
stroller.
stroller. Yeah.
You hold your kids.
Well,
Sometimes they just be handing them kids to you, though.
I mean, okay, but in fairness, like I've run charity events where then people hold like the money we get at a table, people will just give me like stacks of cash and I'm like, "Here, hold it." And I'm
Yes.
like, "Okay, I'm
Yeah.
technically a volunteer, but you just handed me $30,000 in cash. You have my phone number, but let's face it, I also have the ability to travel internationally." Like,
Yeah,
okay.
I was at a fundraiser less than a year ago where that exact situation happened. Well, I heard that you were good at counting money here. What? Here's our proceeds. Count us and tell us how much we made. What? I am
Like,
literally, you just met me 5 minutes ago,
when
but you
I've
heard that
done
I'm
this,
okay.
like corporate 50-50s, I would have like two of the admins sit together, like count it and then have her double count because I just don't want it to come back on either of you that like, oh, we're 280 short somehow. So I guess people are weirder about money than kids. That's interesting.
But also secrets. Like, again,
Secrets, secrets.
we could, oh my
If
goodness,
you've
we are.
got a kink of some kind, you will find me and you will tell me about it. And I have no, like, I understand. And my life is not boring because if you have a kinky secret, you will find me in a crowd and you will come, like, you will wait for your moment. You guys have seen it that, like, people just,
Yep.
nah. Dude, you
Yep.
remember when we went for sushi that one time and that one
Yeah,
waiter? I wouldn't, like, I didn't want to eat the food. He had gotten so creepy. I was just like, you've.
he got really creepy.
I don't think I was there then.
No,
No.
it was before book club.
It was before book club,
Okay.
and we were sitting in this restaurant, and this waiter took a fascination to Tall.
Oh,
And
that's right. I heard about it
yeah.
later.
Yep.
Okay,
And
but what she
decided that
enjoyed the hell out of it.
I
Like,
really did though.
one of them's like called Hot Girl Roll, and he's like, "Yeah, hot girl." Like, I think I asked for more water, and he's like, "Oh, you thirsty?" Like, I stopped eating because I was pretty sure he had put LSD or Rohypnol in my food, and she is having the time of her life. And I'm like, can we leave now? And she's like, dessert menu, please.
I had never seen it in the wild. I had heard your stories before. I had never actually seen it happen. So I was sitting there giggling because I'm having a great time thinking this is happening. I'm experiencing the weird for the first time. I've seen the TikToks. I've heard the
Stories.
formerly meta stories and stuff like that. And just like, yeah.
I was at a funeral for a family member, and we went to like a VFW hall or like a something or other, like an organization. They have like a hall where you can like cater after whatever. I don't remember what it was. This one chef took a liking to me to the point that he said to me, like in front of all of the grieving people, I'd like to climb you like a sequoia. Everybody, like, it's great that everybody else at the funeral is now like, this is hilarious. We're inviting you to more dead family member events. Like, it was just. And people are like, really? I'm like, yes, I know you guys think I lie about these things, but this is like at a funeral. People are still drying the tears and like, mommy, I
I
like.
have thought that in my head about people.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I have voiced it in appropriate situations. I have never done it at a funeral.
No. Oh,
No.
I can't even.
Definitely a funeral. And he attended the funeral. They left the funeral early to go back to like make the food. So like he was even at the funeral. He knew the dead guy and still thought this was the right
That's
thing to
insane.
say.
I mean, I can't say anything because I come from a family where we have incredibly dark sense of humor, and I've said some really inappropriate things in our own family funerals. Like, we will joke about our deceased, but and we know that when our time is up, the rest of the family will be
You're
there
getting
shouting.
roasted. Yeah.
Yeah,
But
no,
that's
but it.
family. This is some random dude from Eugene, Oregon, who flew in to just make it really awkward. Really awkward.
I don't get so much the awkward conversations. I get like the people tell me like the random like I'm thinking of quitting my job or I never loved my husband. I'm like, wait, what? Hi, what's your name again? We just met. That.
I've gotten stories along those lines. I've gotten awkward stories. I've gotten weird stories. But people will just walk up to me and tell me things about their life. And what, never having done the reverse of that, never having walked up to a stranger and just like unburdened my soul for them, I don't understand.
Well, we don't unburden
No,
in general,
no.
so that's not going to be our MO anyway.
As the parentified eldest daughter, we don't own a burger.
Now, I would also say that
This is where we differ.
I think also and along the lines of people just coming up to us, I have people and we're starting to get to know each other. So let's say we just met and we're starting to build, and maybe it's like the second time we've talked on the phone or something like that. And people will just say things and follow it up with it. I normally don't feel comfortable enough to open up to people. And but I feel I could tell you this. And it's true. I think we're, open people and we can listen to pretty much anything. But when you get that a lot in life, it's also like, what vibe am I
You
giving
start to
off?
wonder. You start to
Like,
wonder. Like, I will die with secrets that do not belong to me.
100%.
They belong to people that I will likely never see again in my life.
But I like it because the other side, okay, as weird as it is, and the things, look, it used to be on my Facebook back when I used to write those things, the New York City subway system was my trauma daily. Daily. But like the other side of it is people who are like, yeah, I go out and nobody ever talks to me. I'm like, my life is entertaining. Like I put up with the weird freakiness because it is entertaining, but also because it's like somewhat fascinating. I don't know what I would do if I just went out into the world and nobody talked to me, nobody made eye contact, nobody told me some weird random thing, like nobody handed me a kid. I
I'd
like.
be okay with some of that. And I don't mind. I think there's plenty on in the regular life that I would be okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't, you seem to have a magnet for like extreme weirds. I think we get some, you get some weird. Now, I've had some like random. I had a woman once standing in a checkout line, And I turned around, she goes, "You have very pretty hair." I said, "Thank you." And I turned away and she's like, "No, look, you have really pretty hair." And I look back at her and she's just staring with wide eyes. Like she didn't have the wide eyes behind before, but now her eyes are wide. And I felt like if I didn't move real soon, that it was going to become some kind of stalker vibe. And I was like, okay, thank you. And I just like really quickly wrapped up whatever was going through, whatever I could in the cart, and just dashed.
She rubs the lotion and lives at the bottom of the well.
Man. No, my favorites are the ones that try to touch you.
Oh.
With, as a person with hair that people gravitate toward.
In fairness, we know that's an entire different episode, but my obsession with your hair is, it's an entire thing.
The can I, they don't even ask if they can. They just start to reach out their hand and try to. No, no lo toques, no lo toques, por favor. Don't touch me.
Mine is generally men who are 6 feet tall. And if the listeners can't hear the very heavy air quotes around
Oh,
6 feet tall, they're like five,
excuse
four if they're an inch. My existing at 6 foot and over for them is just some kind of height challenge. They put their hand on the top of their head and then they put like an angular salute a foot and a half up and they're like, "We're the same height. Look at us. We're, what do you think? You're tall?" I'm like, "I don't think. Medical professionals with measuring tapes have confirmed that I am significantly taller than you." Like it just it
I have
starts this like
eyeballs. Like,
it
first of
starts
all,
this.
how is your personal height a challenge to them? Like,
Well, they'll be
what
like,
about?
"Well, how tall are you?" I'm like, "I'm 6'2". "Well, you can't be 6'2". "I'm 6 foot." I'm like, "Sir, I could bounce you like a basketball. You're a pocket rocket at best. On a good day, if two of you stood on top of each other, you would top at 5'8". But like, why would you ask if you didn't want to? It happened. Like, you couldn't possibly be. Like, did you see me here minding my business? Like, oh, short king, go away. Tall people don't want to talk to you ever." And then somebody else
Crazy man.
inevitably chimes in with, like, "I have a tall niece. She plays basketball. Do you know her?" Yes,
Like
all
being
tall
from
people.
the, yes, all tall people know each other.
We're a
All
secret
people from a
community
different
and we all know
country.
each other. You're right. You're
All
right.
people from a different country know each other. We have meetings. If
Yeah.
you're 6 foot and above, there are meetings.
Do you know once I was in
But
fresh.
there is, that's the funny thing,
Yeah.
right? There is an organization.
Technically, there is, and I did walk into it once by accident. But I will say, one day we were in the Lincoln Tunnel, like trying to get out, and there was a car like three ahead of us that had a Canadian license plate. And I don't know why, but I was like, "Oh my God, I think that's like Carl." And everybody in the car was like, I'm like, "The car with the Canadian license plate, I think that's Carl." And everybody in the car was like, "You do all know each other." I'm like, "No, we don't." But like, everybody in the car was like, "Oh my God, it's true. All Canadians know each other." I was like, "Oh my God. I just don't want to gloss over the fact that just a little while ago, Busy said I was right and it's in HD. So.
That's fine. I mean, you can keep that moment. Please put it on the calendar. We can make it a yearly honorary moment of silence. I'm it when you're right. You're acting like I never say this. I forever am talking about everything you know and what you teach us. Why are you making it sound like I'm some person over here? What are you trying to say to our listeners?
One time in a group chat with a few other people, I texted, "Busy is right." And the response back was like, "Does she have you at weapon point? Like, why would you say that? Why would you
We it
ever
was not
say
that
that?"
dramatic. You are building up. You are building something up that is a
We
lie.
can post the text chain.
Have to find it first, but yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure I screenshotted it for like. We dare to
It
say somebody's right and everybody else is like, "Have you been kidnapped? Like, is something going wrong? Did she bribe you? Why would you ever say that?"
blinked twice.
It's true. The second time really did seem to be off-putting to everybody.
It was about a specific topic, I believe.
It was about a specific topic.
Thank you, Red. See, tall girls trying to make it seem like I have no allowances for people being right. I have many allowances for people being right. It was a specific topic, and I can't remember what it was, But it did happen.
Yeah, I
And
had
you
no
were like,
idea what it was about, but now I'm gonna have to go back and find
oh, I
it.
know. As soon as we finish recording this, you know we're both going to be like scrambling to look through. And like,
As of our June 11th conversation,
yeah, here's a screenshot. Here's
here's
a
the
video capture.
geolocation.
She was in this state of mind. It was a cold day on a Wednesday. So do we have any other items of people and their things that they do that makes zero sense?
No, I think we figured it out. And I think, honestly, the world should thank us for solving this conversation in whatever amount of time.
Whatever gets edited, done later. Right, and that's a wrap on today's episode of Sense, Sensibility, and Chaos. Join us next week when we take on another topic with our signature mix of sense, sensibility, and of course, chaos.
If you enjoyed this, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, or at least tell a friend who also wonders why people do the things they do.
You can find us at sensesensibilitychaos.com, TikTok as long as it lasts, YouTube, Blue Sky, and your favorite podcast platforms, where we'll be continuing the conversation, oversharing, and possibly spiraling into another existential crisis.
Want even more chaos? Check out our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, behind-the-scenes moments, and extra unfiltered conversations you won't hear anywhere else. Your support keeps the coffee, or in my case, tea, flowing and the mics on.
See you next time.
Until then, stay sensible.
Or embrace the chaos.
Preferably both.